Hey, what's up, y'all? I want you to imagine that this is a bookshelf. There's a story about a little boy who was trying to reach at the top of the bookshelf and grab a book, but he couldn't reach it because he was too short. So he tried to climb on the bookshelf, tried to jump on the chair, but nothing he could do to get to the top of the bookshelf. So his dad came, grabbed the book, and brought it down to him. Religion is the same way. It's man's failed attempt to try to get to heaven because the standard is perfection. Therefore, God became man in Jesus Christ, and as a perfect role model, he lived the life we should have lived. As a perfect ransom for our sin, he died the death we should have died in our place. And as perfect proof of life after death, he rose on the third day. Remember that the standard to get to heaven is perfection. No religion, no good deeds will get there. It's a gift. Only God can bring it to us. Practice that.
Amen, amen. Happy Sunday, happy Sunday. Stay standing. Can I have you all stand up? Happy birthday, everybody. How y'all doing? God bless y'all. Thank you for your birthday well wishes. Thank you for bringing friends. Are y'all ready for church today? Yeah. Amen, amen. Thanks for coming. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for a great day. Thank you for March 30th. It's been a special day all my life. And it's been special today to see all the people get saved today. And we just thank you for everybody that's here. And I pray you challenge us. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you sit down, God gives me words every now and then. About 5 days ago, he said, I want you to do this to your church. If you have a small business, raise your hand. If you have a small business, look at all these people. Okay, so look at the people around you who have a small business. Introduce yourself to them and ask them what they do and go give them some business. Amen? Okay. Say hi. And then you may be seated. Everybody good? Yes. Turn to the book of Acts. A-C-T-S. Acts. Chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Before I start, I'll give you a little birthday reflection we had early this morning, and people asked me in our back prayer time, you know, what word do you have being 65? Anybody here over 65? Raise your hand real high. Okay, boom, 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 boom. Old people, let's go. I was telling the youngins in the back, because everybody back there is like, you know, way younger than me. Slow down to me means not only move slow as much as, you know, if you've ever had someone die in your life, and when people in your life that are close to you die, it kind of puts a lot of focus on what's really important in life. How many of y'all have had someone die in your life? Amen. It is a very mysterious feeling. Our heart is a very mysterious thing. It's a whole another sermon, but it's not your physical heart. There's an invisible, non-physical heart that you have, your conscience. And when people die, it kind of comes to the forefront of what's really important and what's not important. And I would encourage you, before you get too old, that you say, what is important? What has God made you to be? If God has not made you to do what you're doing, stop doing it. If God has not called you to study what you're studying in school, get another major. Don't waste your time doing stuff. Get focused. Everything in the kingdom of God is very focused. Tigers are only tigers. Bears are only bears. Apples are only apples. And everything God made is exactly what he made it to be, other than us. He made us to be his children, and we follow and do all the stuff because he gave us free will, and we abuse it. So I would encourage all of you, just take some time this week, today, and really start to evaluate why you're here and what God has called you to do, and then be on fire. Go crazy with it. Be passionate about it. But if you're just kind of going through life like that, you are not in your sweet spot. That's my nugget for today. Amen? Amen. Come on. All right. I was at a restaurant eating. My wife and I were eating dinner, and the waitress came up, and we started talking. And I said, "Hey, do you go to church?" And she said, "Well, I'm not religious." And I said, "I'm not religious either. You know, religious will never get you to heaven." And I told her this story about a little boy in a bookshelf. Now, I'm going to teach you the story. I want us to teach it together so we can practice. So this is the story you heard in the video. It is a very great story that talks about the uselessness of religion and the need for a relationship with Jesus Christ. So everyone put your hand up. And by the way, whenever I teach you these stories, I want you to make them your own. You don't have to say it exactly the way I'm saying it. I'm not going to say it exactly the way it was said on the video, but here's the video. Here's the story. Say there was a little boy. Say there was a little boy who tried to get the book off the top of the bookshelf. He ran and jumped. He climbed. He crawled. He complained. He stomped his feet. All this is extra stuff. You don't have to add it. But you get the point, right? No matter what he did, he couldn't reach the book at the top of the bookshelf. So his father came, reached up to the top of the bookshelf, and brought it down to him. Because the standard of heaven is perfection. Say, everybody say, because the standard of heaven is perfection. Religion can't get us there. Doing good deeds can't get us there. Nothing we do can get us to heaven on our own. Therefore, God became man in Jesus Christ. Therefore, God became man in Jesus Christ. And he came down to us. He lived as a perfect role model. Died as a perfect ransom. And rose on the third day. Amen. Give yourself a hand. Come on. As last week we talked about the glove story, this week I want you to practice that story. And if you're going through our training, this is week 4 in our Just One series. We have our church going through an evangelism training. You can go to reachjustone.com, download the website, register, and start going through. You can learn illustrations like that to be able to explain the gospel. What I want to do before we go is I want to quote the Gospel 9. Let's put the Gospel 9 on the screen. These are the 9 words that shape the gospel, and these are the 9 words that through this training you can learn how to discuss. But at first, we want to memorize these 9 words because this is the gospel, and the gospel that we've written is built around these 9 words in this order. Everyone say relationship. Relationship. Say rebel. Rebel. Say ruin. Ruin. You sound strong. Let's go. Let's go. Say relationship. Relationship. Say rebel. Rebel. Say ruin. Ruin. Say role model. Role model. Say ransom. Say rose. Role model. Ransom. Rose. Repent. Receive. Ready. Repent. Receive. Ready. Okay, we're going to do the whole thing. They say relationship. Rebel. Ruin. Role model. Ransom. Rose. Repent. Receive. Ready. Let me explain. God created us in his image to have a loving relationship. Pridefully, we rebelled and ruined it. Jesus Christ was a perfect role model who lived the life we should have lived. As a perfect ransom, he died the death we should have died in our place. And as a perfect proof of life after death, he rose on the third day. If you repent and believe, you can receive the gift of God, the gift of salvation. Are you ready? Everyone say relationship. Relationship. Say rebel. Rebel. Say ruin. Ruin. Say role model. Role model. Say ransom. Ransom. Say rose. Rose. Say repent. Rebel. Say receive. Stay ready. Okay, take it off the screen, please. Okay, now, yeah, here we go. I'm going to say the first one, and then y'all going to say the rest. Ready? Say relationship.
Relationship.
One more time. Hey, let's go, let's go, let's go. I can feel some of y'all going, okay, let someone else start the word, then I'm gonna finish the word. Y'all are like, they all start with R, so you're like, relationship, awesome. That's cool, that's cool, that's cool. The first 4 books of the New Testament are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These four gospels are four people's different perspective of Jesus and his ministry and his life and his character. If you took four people to describe you, you would get four complementary images, descriptions of who you are. Someone might say, oh, they're really smart. Someone might say, oh, they're really athletic. Someone might say, oh, they're really tall. But, and they would all be true. And so the four gospels are four different perspectives of Jesus, which is why it's important to have more than one. During Jesus' ministry, he said, look, I'm going to die soon, I'm going to die and rise from the dead. And then I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Don't do any ministry until the Holy Spirit comes. In the book of Acts, he tells his disciples who are now going to be apostles, don't do any ministry until you have the Holy Spirit, because religion is not going to help you. You need the power of God. Let me say that again really slow. Religion is not going to help you. You need the power of God and the Holy Spirit. Now, religiously, you can pursue God. Religiously, you can read the Bible. Religiously, you can pray, but it is not about your habits. It's about your relationship with God. Those habits help you get there, but it's not the habit. It is your relationship with God and your obedience to God. So in the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit comes. Peter preaches a sermon on Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit comes. 3,000 people get saved, and Peter and all the apostles start to preach the gospel. And what are they preaching? That Jesus lived, that he died, and he rose from the dead. That Jesus lived, that he died, and he rose from the dead. There's no other gospel. And a lot of us have been saved for a long time, and you know all this theology. Fabulous. But don't forget the gospel. You got to preach the gospel. I was with some people the other day, my age, right? Ain't that many people that much older than me. Well, but there was a brother there that was 80. And we were talking about this training and raising money so we can get this to kids for free. And we were talking, it dawned on me how sometimes we can get so grown that we don't share the gospel anymore. We're above that. We don't ever want to get there. Don't ever get there. Okay? And so Jesus goes and Peter's preaching the gospel. All the disciples are preaching the gospel. And they're preaching mostly to Jews. And now there's a Roman soldier, a centurion, Cornelius, who's not a Jew, but he's a fearful man of God. He fears God. He's giving money to the synagogue. He's fearing God. He's pursuing God. And he has a dream. An angel appears to him and says, you need to call Peter. Send your soldiers to Peter. Tell him to come to your house because he has something to say to you. So he sends his soldiers and they say, here's where he's staying. So they go to the house where he's staying. And at the same time, Peter is hungry and he has a vision of all these animals that are coming down from heaven. And God says in his dream, eat the animals. Well, the animals that the Old Testament says don't eat. So Peter says, they're unclean animals. And God says, don't ever call anything unclean that I have cleaned. And then he wakes up, and as soon as he wakes up, he gets a knock at the door that this Gentile, this non-Jew, wants him to come to his house. Now, at that time, a Jew would never go to a Gentile's house because the Jews are unclean. They're those people. And God says, not in the kingdom of God. Everybody's welcome in the kingdom of God. And Peter realizes, oh, the dream was about me not calling people unclean. So Peter goes to Cornelius' house. Cornelius is the Roman soldier who's asking for the gospel. Peter comes to this house, and he shares the gospel with him, and people get saved, and the Holy Spirit falls, and they start speaking in tongues and all this stuff. But the point is, I'm going to read to you a short passage of what Peter said to him. And basically what he said was, Jesus was a perfect role model who lived the life we should have lived. As a ransom, he died on the cross. It's going to say tree. And then 3 days later, he rose from the dead. That's what you need to know. You need to know that. The Bible has 1,189 chapters, 66 books written over thousands of years, 1,500 years by 40 different authors on three different continents, and it all boils down to Jesus lived the life we should have lived, he died the death we should have died, and he rose on the third day. That's it. That's the foundation. The reason we call this church the Rock is because it's the foundation upon, the gospel is the rock upon which we stand. Nothing else. It ain't about me. It ain't about, I'm going to be gone one day. It's going to be about the gospel. If the next person come here and don't preach the gospel, the church is going to die. But if he preaches the gospel, the church is going to thrive. Ain't got nothing to do with me. Ain't got nothing to do with you. We have to know the gospel. A friend of mine who was my son's Pop Warner coach, who is 25 years ago and we're still friends to this day, he always, as a joke, I always like, man, you got to get saved, bro. And he's like, well, you know, when I die, I'm just going to tell the angels up in heaven, tell the big man that I know you. Like, bro, don't Don't say my name. Don't say my I hope I die before him, because if that happens, I'm going to have already be in heaven, so they can't snatch me out. Because if it happens when I'm still here, God may say, you know, something may happen to me. Listen, here's the thing. This is not going to happen. I'm going to give you a scenario, but the worst thing that can happen to you is that you die, and this scenario is not going to happen, but you die and go to heaven, and he goes, hey, tell me before you come in, what church you go to? Anyway, I went to the Rock. Really? Hold up. Oh, that's Pastor Miles. Okay. So tell me the gospel, right? Yeah. Tell me the gospel. I don't know. Nah, you weren't paying attention, homie. You weren't paying attention. I don't know if I should let you in. Let me get some consultation. You want to know the gospel. So let's read what it says in Acts chapter 10. God anointed Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all people, but to witnesses chosen before God. Point number one, as a perfect role model, he lived the life we should have lived. A role model is someone whose life is something we should, is a good example for us to live. When I was a freshman in college, of course, wanting to go to the NFL just like everybody, play football, my coach had just got cut from an NFL team. So he was an NFL type dude. He was my role model. I said, that's what I need to be like. It was right in front of me. All of us have a role model in something, whether it's your job, whether it's your teacher, whether it's somebody who's a mentor to you, whether it's a parent, a relative, that they are doing something in their life. They're good in health, they're good in their diet, they're good in raising their kids. They are doing something as a model to you. Jesus is the perfect role model in our life. Why? Because he was perfect. If you ever read about any other religion, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, Islam, all these other religions, by the way, we're going to study these things in the months to come. They will all say, here's what we say about Jesus. Why? Because you can't leave Jesus out any discussion about God, because he's a perfect role model. No one can match his sinlessness, his perfect way he forgave people, his perfect way he loved people, perfect way he healed the unhealable, touched the untouchable, healed, and forgave the unforgivable. He is our example. And so as you're talking, when you're and in our training, you're going to learn how to identify a role model in your life and why they are a role model in your life, which is what we're going to talk about this week in the training. And then compare it to Jesus Christ. He was a role model in our life because he set the example of being kind. He set the example of being patient. He set the example of being loving. And every person you talk to who has a role model, even people who are not Christian, they can compare something about their role model to Jesus Christ, and that helps them understand how their life is part of the gospel. Number two, as a perfect ransom, he died the death we should have died in our place. A ransom is a payment that sets someone free or covers your debt. A ransom is somebody in your life that got you out of trouble. Think about it. How many of y'all have someone in your life that got you out of trouble for something you should have gotten trouble for? When I was 10, my friend who was 12, his name was Rodney Coleman. Rodney, if you're watching, I remember when you did this to me. Rodney said, hey, Miles, he lived right up the street from me, four houses. He said, hey, Miles, let's go to the grocery store. I don't remember the name of the grocery store, and let's get some stuff. Cool. We walk into the grocery store, half a mile away, three quarters of a mile away. We're little kids. And we get in the store, and he opens a bag. And we start walking down the aisles, putting stuff in the bag. And I'm thinking, I'm a naive kid. I'm like, don't we do that after we pay? He's like, nah, we're good. And he's putting stuff in the bag. And I'm like, something ain't right. We get to the last aisle. And this man, I just remember this tall man, we little kids, puts his hands on our shoulders and says, come with me, you know, whatever he called us, and brought us in the back. And I'm like, we were stealing. I didn't know. I've been framed. It's not my fault. So we get in the back, and he's standing over there, and I hear his mother had to walk all the way up there, smack the snot out of him. And I'm thinking, I'm going to get whooped next. What you youngins don't understand, that there was a day. Old people, what am I saying? You know what I'm saying? There was a day where you would get whooped by your mother, M-U-V-A, your mother, your father, your neighbor, your teacher, your coach. Anybody can whoop you. Can I get an amen? There was no child abuse. Now, I'm not saying child abuse is wrong. It ain't wrong. It's wrong. But back then, everybody should have been arrested because we got whooped by everybody. This whole negotiating thing with your kids, that, hey, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Hey, little Johnny, hopefully you could do it. Hopefully you could be good. Whap! That was my household. I'm not trying to condone violence. Just telling you what I experienced. So I'm thinking I'm getting whooped. My father was a cop. He had a badge. Who was I going to call? Walking home. It's the longest walk of my life. And she's like, the mother, to her son, I can't believe you did this. I can't believe you did this. And you, Miles, your father's a cop. You go to Catholic school. How could you do this? And I'm like, in my mind, going, well, it's your son. You trained that boy. Your husband's a cop, too, so I don't know what you're talking about. I ain't say that. I was just thinking that. We get to my house, and she opens the door. She tells my mom what happened, and my mom goes, first words out of my mom's mouth to me, I'm not going to tell your father. She saved my life. She saved my life. I mean, I might be alive, but I'd be walking like this. She was my ransom. In the same way Jesus died on the cross so I wouldn't have to pay for my sin. You have a grocery store story. You can tell that story to your friend. And then you can explain to them that in the same way Jesus died for you so you didn't have to go to hell. And guess what? They have a grocery store story. You got to get the training. ReachJustOne.com. Learn to share the gospel. Number three, as perfect proof of life after death. As a matter of fact, let me read Acts 10:39. We are all witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. They killed him by hanging him on a tree. Point number three, as perfect proof of life after death, he rose on the third day. He rose means it was restored back to life. It would be foolish of you to trust your money with someone who is broke. It'd be foolish of you to have as a personal trainer someone who ain't in shape. They're smoking a cigarette, eating Twinkies as I'm telling you to run on the treadmill. You lost your mind. It'd be foolish for you to trust your eternity with someone who's dead. Jesus rose from the dead. Muhammad didn't rise from the dead. Buddha didn't rise from the dead. Confucius didn't rise from the dead. Plato didn't rise from the dead. I don't know what you're trusting in. Your idols, your money ain't rising from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead. That is why Christianity is different from all other religions. Now, you may hear all roads lead to heaven. No, they don't, because some roads don't even go to heaven. They say there is no heaven. And so none of them are going to get there because the standard is perfection. Once you make one mistake, you're disqualified. That's why God had to come down to us. Acts 10:40. Him, God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not only to all people, but to witnesses chosen before God. It is a historical fact that a man named Jesus lived. It is a historical fact that a man named Jesus was crucified by Pontius Pilate, who is a historical figure. It is a historical fact that he rose from the dead. Why? For many reasons. One, the tomb was empty. They couldn't find him. Romans were experts at killing people. And people who saw him's lives changed. They went from running and hiding because their Savior was dead to being so bold that they were willing to die for their faith. People said, if you denounce Christ, we won't kill you. If you do not denounce Christ, we will kill you. And every single one of the 11 apostles died a brutal death. Why? Because they said he's alive and we can't deny him. Nobody dies for a lie. You would not die for a lie. And so in a minute, we're going to give you opportunity to ask Christ to be your Savior. But here's what we're going to do. You're going to see a skit here in a minute. And this skit is Just One Conversation, episode 4. We started this the first week of the series, and it is a story about two people who are going through the training, witnessing to another person. And the information that they're going to share with you is all in the training, and we're trying to show you how these conversations can happen and how the training can help you. So check out the skit, and then we'll come back and close out for you.
Last week, y'all were grilling me with some questions, but now I got some questions for y'all. First things first, how do you even believe in God in the first place, based on the fact that the Bible was literally written by men, is old, is outdated? How can you even trust it?
Okay, well, sure, men wrote the Bible, but it was inspired by God. It was prompted and guided by Him. So, did you know that there's over 25,000 New Testament manuscripts and like over 5,000 Old Testament fragments that were discovered that confirm the content of the Bible we read today? And not to mention all the ancient artifacts and evidence, like that kind of historical consistency doesn't exist anywhere else. So it's not just some book. Like, the Bible is a message that has transformed people's lives for thousands of years, and it's completely transformed my life.
Okay, but you would say that God is good, right? If that's the case, how come there's so much evil in the world? Just turn on the news. You see crazy stuff every single day. How come your God's not stepping in and doing something about it?
Yeah, that's a great question. You want to take this one?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So your question actually suggests that God is good. And He is good, but all evil is the absence of good. So therefore, it's the absence of God. And God, in His divine wisdom, He decided to give man and women free will. And unfortunately, it's man and women that choose evil. But God is just, and He promises to make things right in the end. He's not slow in keeping that promise either. He's just patient with all of us. He wants all of us to come to repentance because He doesn't want any of us to perish.
Okay, I hear you, but Sarah, what about science? You're just going to completely deny all the factual evidence that we have that would suggest that science is the reason for this entire existence?
Yeah, well, science is kind of your thing. You want to go for this one, too?
Yeah, another good question. So science, all it does is explain what's already in existence. It's not the source of which things exist from, if that makes sense. Because you can't have life come from non-life. It requires a life giver. And, bro, I just look at the intricacies of the human body and I mean, myself, I saw the other day, we're full of DNA, right? And DNA is in billions of cells. I saw it where you can take out your DNA molecules, stretch them out, put them one by one, and it would reach Pluto and back.
Wow.
That has to point to a divine, intelligent creator.
I mean, I hear you, but there's thousands of different religions and this and that. Like, it's all the same at the end of the day, isn't it?
Well, it might seem like they're all the same, but when you look deeper, they all differ on these core beliefs about God, afterlife, and especially salvation. So Christianity doesn't just offer these nice teachings, these moral values. Christianity offers a person, Jesus Christ. Like, no other religion offers a risen Savior that conquered death to restore our relationship with God. Like, no other religion offers this free gift of salvation to anyone who believes in Him. Like, it's different.
Okay, but Sarah, you of all people shouldn't be trying to tell me about God. You were literally addicted to drugs, and now what? You're suddenly all perfect and better than me? You're probably the most hypocritical person I've ever met in my life.
Oh my gosh, it's happening. I knew this was gonna happen. Oh my gosh, my life is absolutely over. I'm canceled, I'm discredited. Like, this is so embarrassing. My mom's probably gonna disown me. Like, what are my friends and family gonna think of me? What's my church gonna think of me? I've ruined this. Like, okay, wait. Eliot said to remain calm, stay curious, stay courageous. This is what Just One trained me for. I got this. You're right, Nick. I'm not perfect. That's why I need God. And I'm not just trying to point fingers at you. I'm here because I've been changed by God, and I just want that for others too.
Amen. That's well said, Sarah. And honestly, I've been watching your walk with the Lord, and it's evident that the Holy Spirit's had his hand on you. You've been an amazing encouragement for me.
Thank you. Hey,
absolutely. Why don't you share with Nick the shelf analogy?
Yeah. So this bookshelf analogy. So there's this son. He's trying to reach for this book. It's at the very top of the bookshelf, and he can't reach it, even with him standing on his tippy toes. But thankfully, his father comes along, grabs the book, and brings it down to the son. In the same way, the standard for heaven is perfection. And people try to attempt to do things to get up to reach God in heaven, but they're not perfect, so they fail. I'm not perfect, you're not perfect, but Jesus is. And God loved us so much that he brought his son down to earth for us. As a perfect role model, Jesus lived the life we should have lived. As a perfect ransom, he died the death we should have died in our place. And as perfect proof of life after death, he rose again on the third day, just like he said he would.
That's powerful. I've never heard it broken down like that before. It definitely changes my perspective. Thank you.
Yeah, you should come to church with us sometime. We go to Rock Church. It's not too far from here.
Yeah, that's a great idea. We'd love to have you, bro. I mean, no pressure, of course, but I think you might like it.
Yeah, I'll think about it.
You need to pay attention. Whenever someone considers giving their life to Christ, they have all these questions. What if this? What if that? And honestly, if you're scared to share your faith with somebody, the person that you're talking to is probably scared to give their life to Christ. Because they got to answer a bunch of questions from the people that they know. You will always have questions. My wife and I have known each other for 45 years. We've been married 40 years. It'll be 41 years in September. I still don't know everything about her. I'm not going to say women are complicated. People are complicated. I don't even know myself. And so when people think, I need to know all this information, you're never going to know everything you want. I've been walking with God for 41 years. There's so many questions I still have all the time. But what you have to look at is the evidence for trusting God and the evidence against trusting God. Even if someone says, prove God to me, you can't even prove you have a mind. Show it to me. You got a picture? Can you touch it? Nope. You have evidence that you have a mind. So when people tell you to prove stuff, they can't prove that they have a thought. They can't prove that they even have a mind or a heart. When I say heart, a conscience, because it's invisible and non-physical. But what we do is we look at the evidence. And the evidence shows that there was a man named Jesus who lived. The evidence shows that we are all sinners. Can I get amen? The evidence shows we're not perfect. The evidence shows that we are all going to die. I haven't died yet, but the evidence says everybody else did, so I'm going to die. And the evidence shows that there was a man named Jesus who died on the cross for my sin, not his own, because he was sinless, and that he rose from the dead. That's what the evidence says. The evidence says that there's a man named Pontius Pilate who lived and crucified a man named Jesus on the cross. That's historical fact, by the way. So that's not even the evidence. That's proof. You can prove that. And then the evidence is that he rose from the dead and that his disciples changed. Claiming to see him, they changed from being very cowardly to being so courageous they died for what they believed. That's what the evidence says. And so as you consider, do I ask Christ to be my Savior? Do you have answers for every question? There's always going to be a question someone can ask you. It's questions people ask me today I still can't answer. But the evidence that God is faithful, that he changes lives, that he's patient, that he's forgiving, it's overwhelming. So in a minute, you're going to have an opportunity to take a step of faith based on the evidence that God loves you, that he's a plan for your life, and that he has a plan better than your plan. And all you have to do is do three things. It's A, B, C. A, admit that you're a sinner. The Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. B is believe. Believe that Jesus died and rose from the dead. We just went over that. You can actually prove that. And then C, confess Jesus as your Savior. Say, Lord, forgive me. I don't understand everything, but I do know one thing. I believe that you exist. And I believe that the heavens and the universe didn't make themselves. They didn't organize themselves, because that's unscientific. Things don't organize themselves. Nothing can't produce anything. So in a minute, we're going to bow for a word of prayer. And if you would like to ask Christ to be your Savior, you're going to pray that simple prayer with me, that one, you believe you're a sinner. You believe that Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead, and you're going to confess him as your Savior. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes and listen very carefully to your heart. Lord, thank you so much for everybody here today. Thank you for the opportunity to share the gospel with them. Thank you for your patience and your faithfulness. As you sit in your seat, if you realize that you're a sinner, that Jesus died and rose from the dead for your sin, and you want to surrender your life to him, just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus loves me. He died and rose from the dead for my sin. Jesus, please forgive me. I confess my sin to you. I repent of my sin. Thank you, God. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if in the privacy of your heart you prayed that prayer, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand up and declare by standing that you are surrendering your life to Jesus. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before man, I'll be ashamed of you before my Father. He died in public for you and me. It's a time for us to stand for him. So if you prayed that prayer on the count of three, I'm going to ask you to stand. One, two, three. Stand to your feet. God bless you. 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 Let's go. Stay standing. Stay standing. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you.